Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program happening right now. It is the Fan After Dark on a haiku hump day kind of day. The band is back together after a two-week, not even a hiatus. It was, Fred did K&C, Blake did G-Bag, and boom, here we are 2 weeks later and are back and better than ever. Let's jump out to the... Thank you, sir. Let's jump out to the D&M Leasing Hotline. Welcome to the program, making his Fan After Dark debut. Woo, 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 woo. One of the best scribes and talkers of all things college football. A ball knower, if you will, when it comes to the college of pigskin variety. The one, the only, writer for The Athletic and the Bunch Formation College Football Show podcast, Mr. Chris Vanini. And Chris, we finally have polls, all right, that we can, I guess, get excited about in some form or fashion. Your first thoughts and how much stock, if at all, do you put into these preseason polls?
I don't put any stock into them. Because, we adjust as they go on. They don't actually really mean anything, and the numbers show out that they don't really influence anything down the road. But I love preseason polls because it's something to talk about, and there are 136 teams in Division 1A, so we need to kind of have a good sense of, like, who do we think is going to be good this year and who might stand out. No real surprises, I don't think, in the poll. There are some teams I think are a bit overranked and some that are underranked, but I think there's a lot of questions about the teams at the top, which makes for a pretty fun season when we don't know what to expect.
I'm looking at the bottom here, BYU, Utah, and Baylor being the teams looking on the outside looking in. Do you think any of those teams have a reason to be angry that they're not in the top 25 over the likes of a Tech, Tennessee, Boise State, kind of towards the bottom of the top 25?
Well, the thing about the Big 12 is that it is the deepest conference in college football. You've got, I think, seven teams essentially making up the top 28. So, like, I mean, Baylor, they could win the conference, and they're the, I think, seventh-ranked team in the conference based on this poll. All those Big 12 teams, I think, are really close together. No reason to be too upset. I think if Baylor beats Auburn in week one, you know, they're probably going into the top 25 from there. So, these things adjust as we go. But I'm pretty high on Baylor. I like what they have. I think that first game with Auburn is going to be really fun. And I'm really high on Utah, who had kind of a nightmare season last year. But coming out of Big 12 media days, I got the sense that that is a team that feels very confident about what they have this year, including maybe the best offensive line in college football. So keep an eye on Utah.
Talk to me about the Florida Gators. They're a really interesting team. DJ Lagway, obviously going into his second season over there. But they have a very tough schedule ahead of them, some tough road games, especially the SEC, some home games that have some troubling fans. Do you think Florida, even with the tough schedule, can be a team that we see in the playoffs this year?
Florida's really riding the momentum of the way last season ended. Because remember, halfway through last season, we thought they were about to fire Billy Napier, the coach. Instead, DJ Lagway the former five-star recruit, turns out to be a pretty good player. They closed the year with wins against, I think, LSU and Ole Miss and Florida State, and they look good. 15 is pretty high, I think, because there still are some concerns about them. I'm also concerned they're pretty banged up in camp. DJ Lagway has been in a walking boot. They've got some receivers banged up as well. They've got a pretty tough schedule early in the season and really throughout the season, but really that first month as well. So they may drop a game or two and kind of set themselves behind the eight ball early on. But if they can continue the momentum of last year, if DJ Lagway is healthy, he is going to be perhaps one of the best quarterbacks in the country.
Chris Vanini, Bunch Formation Podcast, writer for The Athletic, talking all things college football here on 105 through the Fan, Fan After Dark. A team that, look, you know, anybody that follows college football knows about our guy Dabo Sweeney and the Clemson Tigers. And it seems like since the Trevor Lawrence years, this has just been a very just kind of polarizing almost figure in college football. His, you know, whether it's his faith, whether it's his lack of using the transfer portal and just kind of the way he goes about handling his business, good, bad, or indifferent, right? Depending upon how you look at it. This might be the best team he's had in quite some time. Where are you at right now on Dabo, this Clemson football team, and kind of what's college, you know, how important is this year for the Dabo Sweeney legacy?
It's huge, and I'm very high on them this year. They've got all the pieces that, you know, while they haven't pulled a lot of people from the transfer portal, and he gets criticized for that, they don't lose guys to the transfer portal either. And they've got Cade Klubnik coming back, should be one of the best quarterbacks in the country, maybe like the number two or three Heisman favorite right now. He's got all his receivers back. Most of the receivers last year were freshmen, so they're going to be a lot better this year. The defense needs to stop the run better. That was the problem last year, but they made some changes on that side. They've got a good defensive line. They open with LSU. If you win that game, you might be off to the running, and we might be looking at 12-0 in the regular season. I really think Clemson has a breakthrough season. And, you know, part of a big reason Clemson just hasn't been what they were, you know, 10 years ago, is that they had back-to-back, you know, top NFL quarterbacks.
Boy, they sure
Trevor
did.
Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. They just haven't had that since then. I think Cade Klubnik, second full year as the guy, they may have that again this year.
Let's talk Texas. I know all of our listeners are pumped up in the chairs when we talk about the Longhorns. Obviously, Arch Manning's been the big talk of the offseason. Kind of what have you heard of how he's kind of bringing a different element that Quinn Ewers maybe did not bring? And then obviously they're still bringing back a lot of players that they had last year with Wisner and Baxter, some of those guys on that defensive side. Is the Texas, are we overhyping them, or do you think they will live up to expectations this year and be one of those four best teams?
I don't think they're my number one. I think it's a little bit high just because of how much turnover they have on both lines, especially that offensive line, which is so good and full of NFL guys. Now they've got five-star guys to come in and replace them, and we'll see what happens. But I'm not ready to put them at number one yet. You know, they have the running backs back. They should be able to run the ball better, which will help. And with Arch Manning, he's going to be able to get the ball down the field better than Quinn Ewers did, especially since Quinn was injured pretty much most of last season. The oblique, the ankle, that injury, the oblique injury, he was never the same all season from there on out. He couldn't drive the ball down the field. Arch Manning's going to be able to do that. He can get the ball out quick. He can get the ball out far. Should be able to stretch the defenses a bit more than Texas did last year, as long as those pieces are there. So Texas, they're the SEC favorite. They're going to be good again, but it's the first time they really have to fill up those offensive lines, those defensive lines that have been so good the last couple of years.
Chris Vanini, The Athletic, talking all things college football. Anytime, and I don't care what sport it is, or professional NFL, or excuse me, professional college, whatever, anytime you follow a legend, you're going to have your hands full. Number one, what did you think of Kalen DeBoer's season last year in Alabama? And now as we head into year two, the hype as far as taking over for him has died down, and now it feels like it's firmly his program. Where do you see this? And you, no more Jalen Milroe. Where do you see this Alabama team ranked number 8 in a loaded SEC?
So I, I mean, the way Alabama's season played out, it didn't really surprise me because Kalen DeBoer, his overall record is ridiculously good. He's won everywhere he's been.
Yeah.
But he's also had, like, quite a few duds. You know, even the Washington teams that were really good, the one that went to the national championship game, they barely beat a 3-9 Arizona State team that year. So, like, they sometimes don't fully get up for certain games. And I think you see Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, two teams that go 6-6. They just they weren't all there, and that's what happens. He also beat Georgia. You know, like they destroyed LSU on the road. So like they can get up for the big games under Kalen DeBoer, but it's those games that they are three touchdown favorites. Nick Saban never lost those games, and so that is the one thing. If they can just kind of avoid those, you know, you're a playoff team. This year, you know, Ty Simpson's going to be the quarterback. I don't know. We haven't seen a lot of these guys who's going to play quarterback. I do wonder if Simpson and maybe these other guys are just kind of a better fit offensively for what Kalen DeBoer likes to run. There's usually not as much quarterback run in what he does. So maybe it's, you know, maybe it's a quarterback who's not as good as Jalen Milroe, but maybe is a better fit.
We already know about Drew Aller coming back, Cade Klubnik coming back. We talked about DJ Lagway a second ago. Arch has a lot of hype. Talk to me about some other quarterbacks you think are going to make wavelengths this year in college football. Garrett Nussmeier be another one. Some guys that maybe people aren't talking about that our listeners can be watching when this college football season kicks off in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Aller, like, I got to see him take the next step.
Okay.
You know, like he did turn down the NFL, and the NFL people like him, but I don't know. Like, you watch him, and you don't see the game-changing ability. I don't see it, at least, in some of those ways. So I'm very curious if he can take that step forward this year. I think Sam Levitt, the quarterback at Arizona State, I love him. He is going into his third year, second year as a starter. You know, Arizona State was one play away from beating Texas and going to the semifinals last year. He's got his top receiver back. I think Moore is going to be on his back since Cam Scadaboo is no longer there. So I really like him. Dan Levitt. I think Kevin Jennings down at SMU, you know, he came on as the season went on last year. Now it's fully his team. He's going to want to rebound from that Penn State performance. That's not who Kevin Jennings is. I think those of us who watched SMU knew that. I think he's going to have a big step up. And then the Indiana quarterback, Fernando Mendoza, transferred in from Cal. NFL people are really high on him. So he might be a guy, you know, who you're not really thinking about coming into the season, but as it goes on, you start thinking this guy might be, you know, first, second, third round pick in the NFL draft, at least based on the scouts that I've talked to. They like him so far.
What about Sellers, South Carolina?
You know, he really, the second half of the season, it's kind of like DJ Lagway at Florida, where it's like, can he continue the momentum of the second half of last season? He lost his offense coordinator. So it's going to be a couple of changes, got some new weapons around him. But I really like him. Obviously a great dual threat quarterback. We'll see if some of those receivers like Nick Harbor can kind of live up to the hype. Some speedy guys there. So lots going to be on his shoulders, and he's not going to surprise anybody this year.
Sorry, I'm just super excited to talk to you. When it comes to the receiver position.
Must be nice.
When it comes to the receiver position, a lot of our NFL listeners like to look ahead and say, who are going to be the next Jamar Chases and Justin Jeffersons and CeeDee Lambs? Who are the five or six guys, or maybe if it's even less of that number, that you're looking at if the draft were to happen, that these would be the guys that NFL teams are looking at? These are going to be the guys at the top of the draft board come a couple months from now.
Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State might be the best wide receiver prospect we've had in a generation. And he probably would have been a top 10 pick if he came out last year after his true freshman year. He still has to go through two more years of college football. It is extremely unfair to these defensive backs who are going to be going pro in something other than sports to have to match up to Jeremiah Smith for the next 2 years. He is an unreal player, and you're just going to have to wait a while in the NFL to get him, but he will likely be a very high pick when that happens. Ryan Williams at Alabama, another guy, big play threat, really fun character. Him and Jeremiah Smith are on the cover for the video game, and I've interviewed Ryan Williams a couple times. He, again, another guy, true freshman last year. Like, the true freshman wide receivers we saw in college football last year were ridiculously good, and they're going to be sticking around in college football because of the NFL draft eligibility rules. I also think Jordan Tyson, I mentioned at Arizona State, I mentioned Sam Levitt, Arizona State, the quarterback I like. Tyson had over 1,000 yards last year, but he got hurt and he didn't play in the playoff. So he didn't play in that game against Texas. So that number one option wasn't there. He's back this year. I think he's going to have a really big season. I think Auburn has a pair of wide receivers to keep an eye on. Cam Coleman, another guy who was a freshman last year, really big dude, expected to take a big step forward. They also added Eric Singleton Jr., transfer from Georgia Tech. So Auburn's got a good 1-2 punch of receivers. Those are some guys I think I'd keep an eye on.
Name me a coach, because our boy, was it Scott Frost down at UCF, who, you know, mentioned that he took the wrong job in Nebraska. And you know, Matt Rhule, I thought, did a great job of saying, yeah, you're right, this wasn't a good job. And I don't know if that was just him covering up for it or his way of saying, yeah, this job sucked. Look what I've done since I've been here. Who's a coach right now? Give me two ends of the spectrum. Give me a new coach who you expect to, you know, do some big boy things this year, and who's somebody that could be on the outside looking in as far as getting fired, and I'm looking squarely at Brian Kelly.
Well, that's where I was going to start. Talking Love about it. Fit, Brian Kelly and LSU.
That's just been weird, right?
It hasn't quite fit. They haven't been bad. They've been good. They win, you know, 9 games. They win a Heisman Trophy. They beat Alabama his first year, but they haven't made the playoff. They haven't reached the highs of LSU.
Right.
And it's notable because the previous three coaches there all won a national championship. Nick Saban did it, Les Miles did it, and Ed Orgeron did it. They all did it within, I think, 3 or 4 years there. This is going to be year 4 for Brian Kelly. This is usually when it happens. They've got Garrett Nussmeier, might be the best quarterback in the country. So can they get over that hump this year? Because he's a Northeastern guy, coached in the Midwest. He's the complete opposite culture fit, obviously, of Ed Orgeron. And the buyout's pretty big. So, like, I don't think they're, you know, you're not necessarily itching to make a change for a coach who's winning a lot.
Yeah.
But they've been behind in money a little bit in terms of getting players. They lost number one recruit, Bryce Underwood, the quarterback, to Michigan late. So we'll see if that – the defense has been terrible the last couple of years. They have to fix that side of the ball. In terms of new coaches, there weren't that many Power 5 coaches that were added this year. There just simply wasn't a lot of turnover. But I'm very curious how Kurt Cignetti at Indiana
– Okay, I'm with
year
that.
Two.
What His about Hugh Freeze?
Hugh Freeze, another guy on the hot seat. He's got the same record Brian Harsin did through the first 2 or 3 years there. He's just generally been recruiting better, so he's had a bit of a longer leash. But you lose that game, that week one game against Baylor, you're going to be in trouble the rest of the year. And fans are kind of getting on him because he golfs a lot, which is normal. Like, every coach golfs, but they're not recruiting as well in this class. And so fans are, like, latching on to things to kind of not be happy about. And so Auburn's been cycling through coaches the last, you know, 5, 6 years.
Okay, because I want to ask you about that. Like, I didn't realize their endowment was like that. I mean, what are their buyouts right now? I mean, I feel like every 2 or 3 years, you know, they're paying somebody's buyout. Now, with Gus Malzahn, he just went ahead and left, correct? Like, he just said, to hell with it. I'm bouncing and going to Florida State, correct? When he left, or was that Florida Central he left?
He left UCF.
That's what it was. I'm sorry, I'm tripping. I'm tripping. But he got fired from Auburn, right?
He did get fired at Auburn. Brian Harsin got fired at Auburn. They both had the same gigantic buyouts. And Freeze has the same buyout as well. The only difference is half of it isn't due within 30 days. But I think Freeze's buyout might be like $20 million right now. And you know, all these coach contracts are ridiculous because these athletic directors and departments get totally taken behind the woodshed by the agents when they're negotiating these contracts. And so I think that's one reason you didn't see anybody major really get fired last year, because suddenly these schools had to find $20 million to put toward players, because you got to play the players directly, that they don't want it, it. We might get longer leashes on coaches now.
Okay.
And that, I think, is ultimately a good thing. I think we saw that with Florida, where they kind of had to wait a little bit longer, and then he turned the season around. You know, so
what a concept.
We'll see.
What a concept. You let a guy actually work a little bit and good things happen. Real quick, since we're sticking on two-year coaches, Mike Elko at Texas A&M. Talking to one of the throngs of Aggies here in the DFW area. It just feels like, look, the one thing that helped obviously turn UT around was getting back-to-back great quarterbacks, all right? One thing we knew about Jimbo, that guy had no problem getting skill guys, getting trench guys. I mean, he got them all day. It seemed like every top-notch dude out of Dallas and Houston at one point was going to Texas A&M. When are they going to get the quarterback, and what do you expect out of Elko in year two?
Well, I think this team's going to be able to run the ball really well between between Reed, the quarterback, and the running backs they've got. They go into that Texas game last year. If they win the game, they're going to the SEC championship.
Yeah.
So, like, they did backslide, and that's kind of leaves a bad taste. You lose the bowl game at the last second. You lose to Texas for the first time playing that game, obviously, in a while. You lose to Auburn in four overtimes or whatever that was because the guy drops the pass. But they were, 7-1 or 8-1 at some point. I think the biggest thing with Elko after the Jimbo era was you kind of just got to knock off all the nonsense, all the drama and that kind of stuff. And I think they mostly are doing that. He is now helping take over the defense, which is his thing, which he ran there before. We'll see if that helps. So I think they're trending in a more comfortable direction, but with the way last season ended, I don't blame some fans for being pretty antsy. But first year, all that roster turnover, did a pretty good job, and I think things are still moving in a good way. Just because you're not bringing in the number one recruiting class like Jimbo did, by the way, half those guys transferred out anyway, so it didn't matter.
It's
really about doing what you do with the guys you have, and I think Mike Elko is good at doing that.
Chris, phenomenal stuff from you. Tell the folks at home where they can find you at on all the socials and where they can find the Bunch Formation podcast.
Yeah, just at Chris Vanini pretty much everywhere. I'll read my stuff on The Athletic, and I've got a college football show called Bunch Formation.
Chris, great stuff. Let's do this again soon, and enjoy week zero, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. The one, the only Chris Vanini from The Athletic talking all things college football. Hopefully you are a little bit smarter on the college football front. All right, let's bring back the Cowboys segment that we talked about earlier in the program. Who are a couple guys that need to have good performances on Saturday against the Baltimore Ravens? Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's Fans of Dark.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey. Shout out to Chris Vanini. All right. Chris Vanini, I think we need to have a college football off between him and Carter Freeman.
Can we throw a boy, Connor Hibbett in there for a little D2 NAIA?
Well, that's if we get an expressway.
Well, we ain't going to. I mean, this just could be me skipping a break is what that's going to be. I mean, let's call it what it is. But, no, that was Chris Vanini. So we were at the 8-10 mark. Me and Blake were talking about during the break. And it's funny because I looked up, too, and was like, we've asked this dude a bunch of questions, and it's only 8-10.
And we're saying this is a good thing.
Because the thing is, he was brief. He was concise.
And he got his point
across.
But
he was also informative. And there was not one question, because we went through the gamut. We talked Texas. We talked Texas A&M. You asked quarterback questions. We talked about Clemson.
About 10 coaches.
We talked about coaches. I mean, my man was – I interrupted him. I said, enough about James Signetti. I don't care. I want to hear about Hugh Freeze instead. He jumped right into that and had information. So, shout out to our boy Chris Vanini. I've been wanting to get him on for a while. Because, man, look, the thing of it is, college football is – there's just so much to cover. Okay.
A lot of teams.
There's a lot of teams. And so it's one of those things where, you know, I'm getting my college football on just a little bit. I'm knee deep in NFL stuff right now. Not going to lie.
Okay. So let's keep it NFL. I've tasked Fred.
You wearing those sunglasses, by the way?
Just feels right. I've tasked Fred with blurting out Dallas Cowboys players.
Can we get better music, by the way? What are you playing under there? What is this?
ASAP Rocky. This is a classic.
Play something else. This music's bothering me.
Fred
is
going
to leave it on just because you said that.
Fred is going to be blurting out Dallas Cowboys players that need to play well in week two of the Cowboys preseason, whether that's to make the roster, get a starting spot, whatever it may be. And then Blake will be remarking and kind of.
Fine choice, my friend. Fine choice.
We'll be kind of ranking them, if you will. So, first player, who you got? Who you got for me?
Jalen Brooks.
Jalen Brooks. Interesting guy. So, I would say he's trending on the up and less to do about how Blake feels about him on the field and just with my eyeballs, more to do about how the Cowboys are listing him on the depth chart and what he did in week one of the preseason.
Yeah.
This has been noted on the G-Bag. I'm not the first one. This isn't breaking news. But he was the starting gunner for you in that preseason game and the joint practice, which I think is the most important for a wide receiver six making the roster.
You got to play some special teams.
Would you say outside of Kevontae Turpin, he has the most special team experience?
No, CJ Goodwin.
Well, I'm saying on the wide receiver side.
Wide receivers, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Mingo doesn't have any.
No.
And Jalen Tolbert.
He's got
return experience, right? But I think we're all in agreement. Let's go ahead and dovetail that into Jalen Tolbert. Yes, I think we all agree that he's going to make this roster.
Him and Mozzie for a fifth.
I don't disagree.
Get off the money and pick up a draft pick.
Were you guys at all encouraged by what Mozzie said?
A little bit.
Yesterday?
At least he took a little accountability.
Like, he came out and said, I mean, look, I don't know if he toloes. I don't know. Clearly, he's on social
media. Kind of sounded like he did.
Look, whether it's toloing, whether it's social media. I mean, and again, look, we love 105 through the fan as much as anybody here at Fan of the Dark. But, I mean, it was pretty consensus across the board. I mean, look, Cowboy Nation doesn't agree on a lot, but everybody was pretty much in lockstep after Saturday. Mozzie Smith sucks.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he just doesn't enjoy football.
Well, no, he certainly doesn't look like he does, right? And that's been Broaddus's point. And for him to come out yesterday and say, I'm a first-round pick. I have to be better. I gave you nothing. And then I wish I could cite who this was, but and my apologies if it's you. If it's your Twitter, let us know. But somebody tweeted out the clip of – this is what happens when Mozzie gets double teamed against the Rams and he's basically getting pancaked by one of the Rams offensive linemen. And this is what happens when Toya gets double teamed and he fights off both guys, you know, and of course it was a passing play or whatever. But at the very least, the whole point was, you know, your first round draft pick from in year three is getting dog walked and your seventh round pick is holding his own. Now.
Okay, so the three names you have on there so far, Brooks, Mozzie, and Tolbert. Do you want to add anybody else to the list?
Well, what are your thoughts, real quick, on Mozzie and Tolbert?
By the way, 2-4, I missed the Talbert and Turbin days.
Good days.
It was a special time, man.
It's a special time. What a
tolo. That was a special time to Fatty right there, boys. I'll tell you what,
I think for Jalen Brooks, he definitely needs to have another good week, but he's on the trend of playing well because he's on the special teams, which I think is a huge factor for him making the team. Mozzie Smith, If he does not have a good week two, I think there is chances that he's going to be looked to move on. Now, I'm not in the Cowboys front office. I don't know what deals are out there, cutting him, whatever. But as far as
Can't trade him.
As far as getting reps, he is trending on the down of we're going to be looking at Perrion Winfrey, Denzel Daxon, Jay Toya.
Well, I think he's going to play a lot on Saturday.
I think he's going to play a lot on Saturday. But as far as if he doesn't play well, when it comes to September 4th, I don't think the Cowboys are just going to throw him out here because he's Mozzie Smith.
What does he need to do to save his job? Just look serviceable?
He needs to be a run stuffer. He needs to be able to eat up a double team.
That's it.
I don't need him to have 7 sacks. Now, would it be nice if he had a splash play to kind of remind Cowboys fans I was a first-round pick? Of course. But I just need you to be a run stuffer where it's like, man, this run defense looks good. And then when everybody does a little film breakdown, Brian included, Brian Baldinger, all these guys, and they're like, hey, look at Mozzie Smith stuffing up the middle and letting your linebackers do what they need to do.
Did you see the clip of him today against Cooper Beebe?
I saw him. Well, that's probably the most positive clip
we've
seen.
I mean, that was the most encouraging sign. Now, again, it was one play.
But, hey, I'll take it.
He just needs to look like he's having fun.
Stack those days. For me,
and you can tell.
He needs to look like he's an NFL defensive lineman.
Right, but if you're having fun, then ideally you're doing your job right.
Can I throw another name out there? Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. Let's look at the corners.
Ooh, yeah.
Can I just say all of them?
Yeah, I mean, nobody is I think is outside safe.
They're not safe to make the team. I think Deron Bland,
Deron Bland may get $30 million a year at the rate that this team's going right now.
But is it crazy to say that they should and maybe will have two different corners at this team come September 4th?
What do you mean?
Like, Kamon Hall will not be starting and should not be.
I wouldn't start him. Yeah, no.
Right now, he's slated to start. Izzy McQuamu, I love him. And a lot of people think he's maybe the third best
Izzy
corner.
McQuamu right now, Izzy McQuamu and Zion Childress, a Blake Elliott pick from Saturday. We each had 3 picks for, you know, who we wanted to see do something special. And Zion Childress, who got reps with the ones today.
He's looked good, but even though I appreciate the flowers on that, I don't want him starting. He didn't look that good.
You may have to, though.
Man, he's first team reps.
Look, it was skinniest kid at fat camp right now with this secondary.
And that's the thing. We see the stuff come out of, and this is where media literacy is very important. I love every single reporter that's out of Oxnard. Zion Childress getting first team reps, and myself gets excited. You get excited, some of the fans. But that's like you said, skinniest kid at fat camp. That's going against Troy Pride, Robert Rochelle, guys that probably will be on practice squad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he looks good there. But when you play the Eagles September 4th.
Oh, you're done.
You are done. They're going to put A.J. Brown in the slot on purpose. He will have 0 reps against Deron Bland.
You're going to have Deron Bland travel with him.
You
have to. I mean, there's no way Matt Eberflus is going to let Zion Childress line up against freaking Devontae Smith or A.J. Brown.
Don't let Devonta Smith get one of these guys.
You're going to break somebody's ankle doing that.
We saw what Devontae Adams did to Kalen Carson, did to Andrew Booth.
You're going to have
Andrew Booth should not hit the field.
No.
He has looked bad in every rep that I have seen. Outside looking in, not at practice. Outside looking in, Andrew Booth has looked horrendous, unplayable. Troy Pride has looked horrendous, unplayable. Kamon Hall, who we had decent expectations, was looking okay. We saw in Saturday's game, not ready for primetime. That was a preseason game.
Izzy McQuamu was the only, and I mean, let's be real. Izzy McQuamu, this is what you and I were texting back and forth about on Saturday before you went radio silent. You had things going on, so I ain't mad at shit. Hell, I mean, I was over there trying to talk to Zave, and I look over at him, and he's passed out on the couch. So, you know, here I am watching the Rangers spit the bit in one half. I mean, Saturday night was a rough night for sports.
I would say it was great for me.
Okay, I'm glad you had fun. Saturday night was miserable from a sports perspective. But if you – and that's why we were talking about this. Looking at that game on Saturday, it was more about, yes, we get it. The starters weren't playing. But if you looked at that roster on both sides,
the only corner
that
would be out there is Bland. So,
right? Well, or Elam, right?
Elam. Yeah.
But you're saying to yourself, okay, which one of these guys looks NFL ready to play and not look overwhelmed on a Sunday?
And there was only 2 guys in the secondary.
I mean, and Childress didn't make his plays until the second half.
Yeah.
When you're playing against, you know, PE teachers and bouncers. Yeah. All right. Let's be real. So, I want to see him on Saturday play early.
Give him some first team reps.
You have to. And I think that's the reason why Shoddy's doing it. Number 2, Maris Liufau. was probably the only other guy. Like Maris Leofau looks like that's what you need to. That's what we wanted Mozzie to look
that's
like.
What you should. It's like when we're watching these basketball players and doing the G League and the preseason dominate, where it's like, why do we even have this guy out here? He's our year two guy.
Yes.
He's dominating.
He's playing at a different speed. I thought Tyrus Wheat, all things considered, I thought Tyrus Wheat actually looked halfway decent.
Yeah,
too.
Like I can't remember the guy from the Jazz, not Lauri Markkanen, but their other guy. Dominated, was averaging 30 points a game. They pulled him out after like four games, like, hey, he's good. That's what we wanted Jalen Tolbert to do. That's what we wanted Mozzie Smith to do. Like, get in the game and be a difference maker. Now, what's our boy? Joe Milton throwing the ball and he's throwing piss missiles left and right? Yes. And he's has no touch at all.
Did you just call it a piss missile?
Yeah. I think that's what Shoddy called it.
I have never heard that phrase before.
That's more of a baseball term, but I'll accept it, I guess.
A flamethrower?
Now, flamethrower I get.
Aroldis Chapman in his prime, every Joe Milton throw.
And I'm glad you brought up Jalen Tolbert, because on one hand, you could easily say, well, yeah, Joe Milton throwing, so let's give him a little bit of leeway on that.
But I need you to be a dog. I need you to make it easy for him.
Well, I don't disagree. That's why I thought Mingo looked good. Mingo was, and I don't think we gave Mingo, for as much as we talked about how bad Joe Milton looked, and I don't think there's any hyperbole on that. The best play Jonathan Mingo had, he got robbed because CeeDee Lamb got rocked by the referee.
And Joe Milton underthrew the ball.
And that's the other part that we forget, okay? That should have been a touchdown.
Should have been a walk-in.
Okay, like Jonathan Mingo put on a route-running clinic on that particular play. There was another play where he was open across the middle, and Joe Milton threw a piss missile behind him, okay? So I think Jonathan Mingo, and look, we all know, if you're a real fatty,
Mingo Mania,
you know we're Mingo Maniacs over here on Fan After Dark. I thought he looked good, and of course, Scooney better look like he means business on Saturday.
The fact that Span Ford has been hurt and
still fighting for reps, would start on Saturday
if he was healthy.
If he was healthy, he's missed what, 2-3 weeks with that high ankle sprain. He could, if you told us that he's available tomorrow, he would start on Saturday.
Yeah, over Scooney, Tolbert, and Mozzie, and all the corners have to step up on Saturday.
I think you and Wolchuk's talked about this. I know G-Bag's talked about it, and I know it's been kind of a trending theme here on the station. I'm calling around the league.
I would too.
And any
kind of draft capital, any. I really don't even care.
Well, I want a cornerback.
Give me
the Jalen Tolbert of your cornerback group,
please. They just average starter.
Because do I think Jalen Tolbert could be a serviceable wide receiver on another football team? Yes, I do.
Be a wide receiver three for the Giants.
I don't care what team. All right, I really don't. There's nothing he can do that Ryan Flournoy or Jalen Brooks can't.
Or even Trayshon Holden.
Like, you've got enough there in the wide receiver room that I don't need to see Jalen Tolbert anymore.
I 100% agree.
Okay, and as we've all talked about before, and you've mentioned this time and time again, he's a free agent at the end of the year. You're not re-signing him. Go ahead. Let him go. Let's go get a cornerback. All right, coming up next, it's time for a little fair foul. Blake's got one. I've got one. What say you? 877-881-1053.
Can I
tease it.
So my fair foul is a personal anecdote.
Of course it is.
About what my friend texted me, and does this pass the bro code? We'll talk about that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week,
I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for that, Khaki Kevin Walker. It is time. You know what that music means. It's time for a little fair or foul. I, or Kevin, or in this case, Blake Elliott. Now, usually it's me. We'll kick things off by reading a story and or telling a personal anecdote and or vignette of what is going on in our lives or in the world of news on the internet. And you folks will determine whether or not it is indeed fair or foul.
But succulent and best meat in my mouth.
It's fair, depending upon who's saying it. Blake, however, has a fair foul for the ages. And since we went a little long pause on the first segment, we've only got time for one fair foul. Because I said, Blake, will your fair foul take up this segment? Because if it will, let me hand this broadcast baton off to you.
Do we have an intro?
No, because I just got the fair foul.
Okay.
So real quick, shout out to Jacob Ray and Dylon. I've been looking for a fair foul from somebody from the Rangers Radio Network, and I want it to be in the wild. I don't want them to, because I could easily have just reached out to Sandler or Hicks or Nadell and said, hey, can one of you guys say fair foul for me? And they would do a fantastic job, but it just doesn't sound the same when it's in the throes of
context
a baseball game.
Everything.
Okay. So for them to do it today in the throes of the game means all. And shout out to Jake and Dylon for taking care of that for me. So,
okay.
Blake,
so I've
take
got,
it away.
I've got a personal one.
Let's go.
Friend. We'll give him a alias. We'll call him Bob.
Let's call him Chris.
Not CA.
Let's call him Chris.
No, we'll call him Bob. And Bob.
Or Robert.
Now, the fair foul is going to be pretty easily. Fine. It'll be in the first text that he sent.
And oh, this is a text that we're reading.
This is a text conversation.
Okay. I like where this is at already.
Now, I have to preface this. This is a good friend that I saw a couple days ago. He texted me this. He sends me a picture of a diary in his handwriting. This is at today at 2:51.
Okay.
He said, I journaled about you on May 28th.
Wow.
I love you.
Huh.
So fair foul.
Huh.
Your homie journaling about you. And then saying, I love you at the end of the text. And this is spelled I space L-O-V-E space Y-O-U. Now, the reason I'm asking is because you'll see by my response how I felt about it. But I also don't want to be too hard. And I want to hear the Tolos and like, hey, he's just being a good friend. That's
just
how
date me over.
This is how I text my friends. Or, hey, bro, little crazy.
Okay, I'm all for male vulnerability.
Sounds sexy, right?
So that's a great drop.
Great drop.
I want to know from the Tolos, 877-881-1053, if you got that text from your homie middle of the day, no contact.
How good a friend? It depends on the friend.
Okay.
No, we're best friends. We're best friends. This isn't like a random guy. Like,
okay, well, I would hope, because if it was a random guy, I mean, I think we've already...
Y'all been through stuff together?
We've been in the trenches before.
I'd say fair. Fair so far.
Does the journal entry matter? He sent me a picture of what the journal entry says.
Yeah, no. What did it say? Go ahead and paraphrase it for us, Ross Lubinsky style, please.
At location with Blake, he's finally single and done talking to a girl. I missed him. I also forget how tough he is in the field by saying, like, the field being, like, out in the wild, right, and hanging out with people, socializing with girls.
Right.
Before he got with a shoddy. I've been avoiding doing these updates, this up and down and stuff like that. Then he starts talking about himself.
Yeah. Is he single too?
He is recently single.
Okay.
I responded with a voice message. I said, A, you are something for saying I love you in the middle of the day, but love you too, bro. Just don't ever send me something like that in the middle of the day. And he said, A, blank you with laughing emojis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I've been drinking. I have a problem I'm working on.
Okay. No.
Your thoughts?
I'm going to say foul.
Okay.
I'm going to say foul.
Okay.
The ambiguous messaging of the journal, I have questions.
Like, I already know he's vulnerable. And I love him. Love him. Okay. I'm not going to be more or less of a friend, but I had to call it out.
Have you been vulnerable with him?
I've been vulnerable with him, but I have never texted any of my guy friends, I love you, in the middle of the day.
And prefaced it with, read that journal one more time.
So he sends me a picture of the journal.
That's the part. I mean, the I love you is already kind of whatever. Like
5/26, 2025.
Yeah.
At Harvest with Blake. He's finally single and talking to a girl. I missed him. I also forgot how tough he is in the field and seeing him deal with shorties in front of us. I've been avoiding updating this and starts talking about himself.
Yeah. No, it's foul. That's foul.
I called him out. I said, hey, bro, don't ever send me something like that in the middle
of the day. That's
foul. I got love for you too, bro. But
you know what that reminds me of? You ever seen Anchorman? You guys ever seen Anchorman?
I have.
You know the part where what's the sports reporter's name in that? Tough or something like that, where he's like, I think when this is all over, we should get a place together.
Yeah.
That's what that gives me vibes of.
And see, I'm trying. Okay.
That's what that gives me
vibes
of.
What I do want to preface is.
Champ Bailey. Champ whatever. I'll look his name up.
I did have to toe the line of my friend being vulnerable. And maybe he's really going through something, and I don't want to be too mean, you know? So I really want to share this with you guys and wonder if I handled this right. Champ kind. So he said, I'm sorry I've been drinking.
Yeah.
I have a problem I'm working on. I sent back a meme of Drewski going, whoa. I said, why are you drunk at 3 a.m. on a Wednesday?
Yeah, that's...
He said, didn't say I was drunk. Just had some drinks.
Okay.
Talked about how he got called off work.
Now you're backpedaling a little bit because you've been called out. I mean, you try to... No, see, you can't play both sides of it because you try to use the drinking as an excuse for why you said it.
Are we being vulnerable or are we being drunk?
Yeah.
Well, I had a gal tell me, and I'll never forget this as long as I live, back in the day, she said, and I don't think this is not original, but, you know, she said a drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts.
Okay, people are saying it's fair.
Okay, they can sit... Look,
I think having love for your boys is not...
That's not the issue.
I think it's just...
Look... I've got friends that I love.
Yes.
Okay. My homeboy in Houston, my boy Caesar, like, that's my boy. I love him to death. And if he called me right now and said, Fred, I need you, we got to go ride out on something, then boom, you won't see me tomorrow.
I think the semantics of what we're talking about.
The I missed you.
Yeah.
And then to follow it up with I've been drinking is just a little bit much for me. Okay. Like, that's not, in the words of, I don't know who said it, but that's not something one bruh should be saying to another bruh. And that's just me.
No, that's just me. I agree.
I missed you.
I called him out.
What?
I told him I'll talk about it
like,
on the radio.
Like, seeing
tonight.
You with a girl, I missed you. Like, bro,
That's where you lose me, I think.
And then to say, well, I've been drinking, like, try to use an excuse. Well, I'm not drunk. Well, then, what are we doing here then? What are you saying?
Just
So you're sober thinking about that? Like,
maybe you should have said you're blackout drunk.
Something. You know? I mean, I don't know. I just think it's foul. Maybe his intentions are pure, but it's just a little bit much for me.
Haven't really processed life. I also need to be sober.
I mean,
I was trying to look out. I was trying to look out because I didn't know if he was really going through something. That wasn't the time to roast him.
I mean, what are we doing here?
But then he's sending memes back and forth.
I mean, by the way, It's not like you, an old girl, moved to Timbuktu. Yeah. You lived in Dallas, yeah, man.
We'll end with this. This is one of the last texts he sent. Can we FaceTime when I get home? Or are you at work?
Okay.
I said,
okay.
He said,
this just gets fouler by the moment.
I said, I responded, no crying BS.
Yeah.
Because you got about an hour before I get ready for work. He said,
can we FaceTime? All right. That's foul enough.
He said, I need to cry. I said, well, okay, then find someone else to call.
Okay. Let's go ahead in this segment before I say something I shouldn't. All right. 2 hours in the books. What's at 9 o'clock? Let me see. I can't even think straight right now. Coming up next, let's take a trip around the National Football League.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.